Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to welcome you to the 2014 New England Patriots Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Again, my name is John Rook. I've served as the public address announcer for Gillette Stadium and the New England Patriots for the past 21 years, getting ready for year number 22. And I'm very privileged to be here again with you to serve as our MC for one of my very, very favorite events to be a part of every year. Love being able to connect the present with the past. I know of no better place to do that than right here with the Patriots and what the Kraft family has done for this organization. You know, the Kraft family has built the Hall of Patriot Plays presented by Raytheon to preserve the legacy of this franchise, to celebrate the history of football, especially right here in New England. It gives alumni a place to call home when they return to Foxborough, and it honors all Patriots, past and present, for their contributions. Now, I think that it's great the Kraft family honors the greatest players with a Hall of Fame ceremony like this, and I know that you agree. I also love, and I also know that you'll agree, that they make it free, like today, for all of us here to be a part of this. You know, this year, you guys, the fans, you selected a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Hall of Fame induction for a third consecutive year. So clearly you know what it's like and what it takes to win, right? During his 10-year career with the Patriots, he gave all of us as fans many, many memorable moments, and now it's your chance to make his moment memorable. Are you ready? I don't think that's memorable enough. Are you ready? All right, that's a little bit better. Now, in just a couple of minutes, the Patriots end zone militia will fire their rifles off once again. But first, we want to kick off our ceremony by introducing a few of our New England Patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening we are honored to welcome back dozens of our Patriots alumni. Collectively, they represent more than 250 years of Patriots service, covering a span of 52 of the franchise's 54 seasons of play from 1960 through 2011. Can you imagine the stories they could tell? Well, we plan to share a few of those stories with you right here, coming up in just a very few minutes. Please provide a warm welcome as I introduce the alumni in attendance here this evening. We will start with the alumni whose careers began in the 1960s. Please welcome running back Bob Cappadonna. Defensive end Larry Eisenhower. Defensive back Billy Johnson. And defensive tackle Ed Toner. From the 1970s, please welcome center Peter Brock. Safety Tim Fox. Linebacker Steve King. Kicker John Smith. And kicker Jeff White. From the 1980s and 1990s, please welcome safety Jim Bowman. Cornerback Ronnie LePet. Quarterback Lee Saltz. And defensive end Garen Veris. Please welcome Ty's teammates from the 1990s and 2000s. Tight end Fred Baxter. Linebacker Matt Chatham. Running back Kevin Falk. Christian Fourier. Defensive end Bobby Hamilton. And safety Rodney Harrison. Offensive tackle, Max Lane. Cornerback, Scooter Magruder. Safety, Lawyer Malloy. Running back, Sammy Morris. Dwayne Saab. Cornerback Otis Smith. Safety Larry Wiggum. And quarterback Scott Zolak. We also have four representatives of the Patriots Hall of Fame here with us this evening. The first one provided the play-by-play account for 745 of 746 possible games during his 36-year broadcasting career. He called six of the Patriots' seven Super Bowls, including each of the three Super Bowl victories.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the man best known as the voice of the Patriots, Hall of Famer, Mr. Gil Santos. He was an original member of the Boston Patriots in 1960 and retired as the AFL's all-time leading scorer. He was a five-time AFL All-Star, and 50 years ago, he became the first Patriot to win league MVP honors. He was the second Patriot to ever be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame in 1992. Please welcome the original Mr. Patriot, 92 Patriots Hall of Fame inductee, Gino Cappelletti! He spent his entire 15-year NFL career with the Patriots and was a key contributor to the team on offense, defense, and special teams. He retired in 2008 as the Patriots' all-time leading receiver, and he remains the team's all-time leading punt returner. In 2004, he not only played on defense, he finished second on the team with three interceptions. And that year, he helped the Patriots win their third Super Bowl in 4 years. Welcome three-time Super Bowl champion, 2012 Hall of Fame inductee, Troy Brown! In his 13-year Patriots career, his teams went to the playoffs 9 times, 8 as division champions. He helped propel the Patriots to 5 conference titles, 3 Super Bowl titles. 22 playoff games, second only to Tom Brady. He's the only player in NFL history to return 4 consecutive interceptions for touchdowns. Please welcome 3-time Super Bowl champ, 2013 Hall of Fame inductee, Teddy Bruschi. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would now please turn your attention to the CBS Scene video boards for a brief introduction of our final honoree for tonight.
The New England Patriots selected cornerback Ty Law with a 23rd pick of the first round in the 1995 NFL Draft. During his 10-year Patriots career, Law tied the franchise record with 36 interceptions.
Intercepted, taken in for a touchdown by Ty Law.
He was invited to 4 Pro Bowls and was twice named All-Pro.
He's hit, he's sacked by Ty Law.
Law earned NFL All-Decade honors for the 2000s and was chosen for the Patriots' 50th anniversary team.
He's the best cornerback I've ever played with, the best defensive back.
In 1998, Law picked off 9 passes to become the first Patriot to lead the league in interceptions.
Ty always played with a swagger, and there was so much confidence that he had as really a shutdown corner. So to have someone out there play the way that he did for as long as he did at a high level for this team is exceptional, and that's the reason why he's in the Hall of Fame here.
Law shined on the game's grandest stage, helping the Patriots capture 3 Super Bowl titles.
We got a guy in Ty Law that's leading that secondary, that's setting the tone of, I don't care how fast you are, how many points you've scored, I'm going to be in your face, hitting you in the mouth, and you're not going to get the job done.
Well, the pass is intercepted. Hit down by Ty Law. 30, 25, 20, 15.
When it was in the air, you almost knew it was going to be Ty. It was going to be Ty that picked the ball off, and of course, he never just did that.
Law delivered one of the greatest postseason performances in franchise history with his 3 interceptions in the 2003 AFC Championship.
Intercepted Ty Law, his 3rd pass interception of the game.
He really forced the quarterback to work, and he always had his eyes on the quarterback, and if you made a mistake, Ty would capitalize better than anybody.
His skill, his ability, it's a little bit underrated in terms of what we did in our championship years, because in order for everything to work, it has to start with that cornerback, and Ty Law was up for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the 20th player and the 22nd person to be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, three-time Super Bowl champion, Ty
long and deep and intercepted. Picked off by the Patriots. Not come Ty Law. That's good. Fires intercepted by Ty Law. His third pass interception of the game. Fires to the right. Picked off. Looks up. He's going to get it all the way. Ty Law.
Ladies and gentlemen of my time, it's my pleasure to introduce Patriots President, Mr. Jonathan Kraft.
Thank you all for coming here today. This is becoming quite a tradition. And to see my dad and I were just talking down here and looking up and saying to ourselves, this is really what we imagined 20 years ago when we bought the team, trying to create a legacy, a culture, a spirit of community around football that we saw existing in other parts of the country and not existing here. And it means so much to us, and I know all the guys who've played, to have so many of you here today. So thank you for coming. When we built Gillette, you know, we were so focused on getting a stadium built, and when it was a reality and we were building it, in our minds, when we would sit and talk, our family, when we get together, we would say, as soon as the stadium is built, we have to build something right next door to start commemorating the legacy and the tradition of football in New England. And we started coming up with ideas for what became the hall that sits right behind us. And about a year after Gillette was built and we started thinking about Patriot Place, it became a real reality to us that we were going to do it. And it was important to us to build a place that commemorated the amazing career of the men sitting down here, their teammates, and the men sitting up here in their red jackets. But we wanted the building to be more than just the commemoration and a place that told the story. We wanted it to be a dynamic environment that inspired all the young people, especially that came through, to realize what an amazing game football is, that it's all about teamwork and perseverance. Individually, you excel to be the best you can be, but you can't be anything unless the other 10 guys on the field and the other 52 men on the roster are a part of it. And we wanted it to tell that story, and we think it does. But we wanted it to do something more. And so we teamed up with an amazing company here in New England, Raytheon, headquartered right here in Massachusetts. And Raytheon gives our real patriots in this country, the true patriots who are protecting our rights and our freedoms all over the world, the equipment and the tools that you have. The tools they need to protect themselves and to protect us. And the men and women at Raytheon who are a team, they're not great athletes, but they're brilliant scientists and engineers. And what people don't know is that the game of football is very much about math and science. The angles that Ty Law used to have to take to pick the balls off, to tackle people. That physics, how hot or warm it is, affects how the ball travels, and you have to understand that. Force really matters, leverage, and that's all about math and science. So Raytheon, Bill Swanson, who was the CEO, shared our vision. And so the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, isn't just a place to tell the amazing stories of these men who played on this field and the field up there and the many fields around Boston, but it's also a place where almost 20,000 school-age kids came last year for field trips to learn how math and science is interrelated to the game of football, to try to make math and science cool. And for us, that's as an important a part of this hall as is telling the story of these men and women. So for those of you that haven't been there, please come and check it out. You'll be able to check out all about Ty and many other things. And for those of you that have, thanks for being there. And most importantly, thank you all so much for supporting our franchise and all these great players that are up here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. 10 years ago, the Patriots won their third Super Bowl in 4 years. It was an accomplishment that Ty Law shares with 20 other former Patriot teammates. We've asked three of them to join us up here on the stage today, share some of their favorite stories about Ty. So could I also have Kevin Falk, who flew all the way up from Louisiana for today's ceremony, to come up and join Troy Brown and Teddy Bruschi right here on stage. And who better to moderate a discussion about Ty Law with a former teammate than a former teammate and a fellow Western Pennsylvania native himself. Please welcome Patriots radio analyst for 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zoller.
John, are we on? Everybody having a good time? Bigger and better every year, right? He mentions Western Pennsylvania, Aliquippa in the house. Let's give it up for Aliquippa. It's good to see the support of the Ty Law family. All right, I'm joined by, obviously, three great players that have won three Super Bowls. 2 years ago, we inducted Troy Brown. I'm going to start with Troy Brown. And Troy, obviously, we did Teddy last year. How much has Ty Law and the way he played the game meant to you three guys winning that first Super Bowl back in 01?
I think watching Ty play the game and the way he approached the game and how relaxed and how calm he always was during the week and during the game, I think it rubbed off on a lot of us, and definitely myself. If you think back to the Pittsburgh playoff game in 01, we went down there and beat them. It was Ty that first got me to relax during competition because he raced me to the end zone, he and Lawyer both, and got me down there and taught me how to do the Humpty Dance in the end zone.
And now, what was Coach's reaction? I know Coach Belichick's not a big fan of, you know, the celebrations.
Oh, when it came to Ty, when it came to Ty, he had no reaction. He just, whatever Ty wanted to do, Ty did. Yeah.
So he got special privileges.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing about Ty, too. Whenever he made a big play, everybody loved to celebrate. But I like to go and celebrate with him a little bit. But when Ty would catch the ball, intercept it, take it to the house, they get to the end zone, I'm running to celebrate with them, and they start dancing. And I run over there, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. And I just run away. I couldn't join. I had to learn to dance so I could celebrate with Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, all those guys in there.
But if you really look at it, though, everybody else was just chiming in because they didn't know what Ty was doing.
You mentioned the 01 Pittsburgh game. Let's jump to 04, where Ty eventually, you know, obviously you got the foot injury. I think it snapped your 21-game win streak. Troy, that impacted your role on the football team. What transpired after that?
Well, we went into Pittsburgh. They broke our winning streak that year, and Ty hurt his foot. And then I started sweating a little bit. Then the next week, we went to St. Louis the next week, getting ready to play them. And then 2 plays into the game, Asante Samuel goes down. And they were forced to put me into the game to play cornerback because of Ty's foot. You know,
what, and, what was Ty's reaction when you were in a defensive meeting, though, when you first showed up?
Oh, Ty was loving it. He was eating it up, you know, and I can't say the words that he was saying to me about it, you know, but he was eating it up, and he was encouraging me, and he was fired up about it, man. And and of course, he told me to go get some more money, you know. From
Kevin, we got to go to you now. Keep it clean here. I mean, we got a lot of kids in the crowd. Best Ty Law off-field story, locker room. You've been around the longest.
He already know what I'm going to say. Second year in the league, training camp. We got the night off. Me, him, Lawyer, Otis. We all, Troy, a couple other guys, we all at the little bar right by the...
Parentes.
Parentes. There you go. Well, they decided to play a little, not rookie joke, but just a joke on me because I'm the youngest guy at the table and I want to run my mouth and talk about how much I can drink. I'm from Louisiana, I can drink. Well, they showed me how much I can drink, I guarantee you that. Just put it this way, the next morning I went to practice pretty much, I don't know if Coach Belichick noticed, but drunk. But, you know, they took care of me, they told the coach, hey, coach, look, we just played a little rookie hazing on Kev. You know, just take care of him. I tell you what, I got my butt chewed out. But that just goes to show you about the building process of the brotherhood with the guys here and who we are and why guys came up for this whole ceremony for Ty.
All right, let's go to Teddy Bruschi. And you saw him up on the video. He called Ty Law the best corner he's ever played with, the most talented. And probably about 10 years from now, and I know Mr. Kraft doesn't want to admit, but Tom Brady's probably going to eventually retire, and we're going to have this Brady Manning argument. Ty's biggest games always came against Peyton Manning. What was it that Ty had over Peyton that no other DB can figure out to this day?
Yeah. I think it was just the big stage in general about Ty. He never was intimidated by what the other team had done or their individual statistics or the score or anything like that. I think it was Ty and Lawyer and Otis before we played the Rams in that first Super Bowl. It was how fast they were, the greatest show on turf and things like that. And it was like the saying that they said, if I remember correctly, is you may be able to run a 100 yards dash fast, but you can't run a 100 yard dash fast if somebody's in your way beating you up. All right. And that's basically, they really set the tone for us, the defensive backfield did, in that first Super Bowl victory. But more than that, I think Ty, I mean, we were up and coming, a lot of us, you know, in 2001, and really we didn't have a lot of success, you know, at that point after Pete had left and we had to rebuild things. But Ty was the one during those years that showed us that individually, I think we could be recognized throughout the entire NFL as being defensive back of the year, you know, all pro, the things that Ty were setting the tone for all of us to do, that if you play well, you know, here in New England, not only winning games, but you can get all of those accolades if you work as hard as Ty did and have that skill. And I remember, speaking of hard work, because a lot of people talk about Ty joked around a lot, you know, and it was a lot of fun in the locker room, but I remember driving here to the stadium, and it was early, and you try to be the first one here, and you come down this road right here, the old Route 1, and there'd be some guy running up the street, and he'd have a lot of sweatpants on, sweatshirts on, the hood over. Now he was either you know, getting in shape or trying to lose weight, one of the other two. But I don't know if it was the weigh-in day, but Ty was here early, and he'd be running up the street on Route 1, and that's just the type of stuff he did, and that's the example that he said, too. And I want to say something about who's here right now, Darrell Revis, all right? And him wearing number 24. Now, Darrell's proven what he's done, but I still hope that as much as I respect him and the way he's respected throughout the league, how much pressure he's under here to wear that number and play cornerback because of this guy and the standard that he set.
Well said. And off of what Teddy said, being around Darrell yesterday and Ty, and we're going to have a piece of that on All Access next week, the relationship between the Revises and the Laws, get ready for Darrell to play well. Let's hear it one last time for three-time Super Bowl champions, Kevin Falk, Troy Brown, and Teddy Bruschi.
Thanks, guys. All right. You know, it was 1993, I think approximately 93 anyway, that I actually had an opportunity to audition to become the stadium voice of the Patriots, and I was fortunate to get the job back at the time. Loved calling the games. My tenure at that point in time as the Patriots announcer seemed somewhat ill-fated, because some of you may recall that by the end of the 93 season, Patriots appeared destined to move away. Well, fortunately, there was a season ticket holder who wasn't about to let that happen. And I think Patriot fans everywhere appreciate all that he and his family have done over the past two decades to make the Patriots the most successful franchise in the National Football League. So it's my pleasure to introduce the man who saved the team from moving 20 years ago, allowed me to continue to do what I really love to do. Serving as the presenter for Ty Law's 2014 New England Patriots Hall of Fame induction, it's an honor to introduce Patriot Chairman, CEO, Mr. Robert Kraft.
Thank you, John, for that very kind introduction. So do you want to know how good Ty Law was? Yeah. Have you heard of the Ty Law rule? Yeah. When the league cracked down on the physical play of bump and run coverage in 04, it affectionately became known as the Ty Law rule. Can there be a higher compliment for a defensive back? No one ever referred to it as the Deion Sanders or the Champ Bailey. While Ty was great defending receivers deep downfield, he differentiated himself from all cornerbacks with his physical play within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and a little more. Just a little. As the Patriots' left corner, Ty drew the assignment of covering the opponent's best receiver every week. The battles were fun to watch. Every single week, those receivers fought Ty Law, and the Law won. As we saw in the film, Ty always toyed with Peyton Manning. He picked him off 9 times in his career. That's almost twice as much as the next defender. And as we all remember in that great 03 championship game alone, he picked him off 3 times and really was all over Marvin Harrison, who finished the game with just 3 receptions for 19 yards. Now, the only bad part is the Colts GM was a man by the name of Bill Polian, who was on the competition committee. And by 2004, the NFL had put a new emphasis on limiting all receivers within a 5-yard bump zone. So it's still referred to as the Ty Law rule. And if those of you who don't believe me, you can Google it. Now, 10 years later, since this rule, Manning has just passed for over 5,400 yards in a single season, thanks in large part to the Ty Law rule. How good was Ty Law? He was the best. And if you don't believe me, just ask him. He played a position that required confidence. In the NFL, you can't be successful out on that island without having great confidence. And no one has ever accused Ty of not having confidence. And that confidence paid dividends for Ty both on and off the field. In 1998, he became the first Patriots defensive back to lead the NFL in interception and was voted to his first Pro Bowl. At the Pro Bowl, he intercepted a pass and returned it for a touchdown and earned co-MVP honors. 6 months later, I had the good fortune of negotiating a new contract with Ty, in which we paid him a fortune, which was well-deserved. With the contract he signed in 99, he became the highest-paid cornerback in NFL history, breaking records of the Cowboys' number one cornerback, Deion Sanders, which had been done 5 years previous. It was such a lucrative deal that it took 5 more years before anyone surpassed it, and that was done by Champ Bailey. 5.5 years after that, when it came to negotiating an extension to that deal, the tenor of the discussion became a little different. And when I saw Ty earlier this week, for full disclosure, I asked him if I could share my favorite anecdote from that time without embarrassing. And his good nature said, sure. So I'll reset the table for you. It was February 05. We had just won our 3rd Super Bowl in 4 years. And please God, it happens soon, not as long as it's taken so far. But Ty suffered a foot injury, and we made Ty our final offer in an attempt to renegotiate a contract extension. Unhappy with the offer, Ty sought me out in the locker room, and he said, "You guys are out of your mind. Don't you know who I am? I'm Ty effin' Law. Ty effin' Law." I never forgot that. So to prove it, 6 months later, Ty effing Law signed with the New York effing Jets. That season, to make his point, he led the NFL with a career-high 10 interceptions and was the only Jet selected to the Pro Bowl. They're applauding for a Jet who went to the Pro Bowl. How good was Ty Law? Good enough they had no fear of retribution. After trying to embarrass his boss in front of 1 million fans in downtown Boston, Ty had just helped shut down the greatest show on turf with Super Bowl 36 to give us our first Super Bowl championship in franchise history. 2 days later, we came back to Boston to celebrate this with all of New England. At the end of the parade, we took the stage at City Hall Plaza, and the plan was to have each of the captains take the mic and say a few words. As the mic was being passed around among the captains, Ty made another interception and took the mic. We knew we were about to go off script. Ty cued the DJ to put some music on, and he started dancing on the stage. I think he was the only player wearing quite a fur coat and quite a fur hat. But he started... He started getting the other players to dance. As you can see, Troy had some good moves there. Then he called me to the dance floor by saying, and I quote, "Hey, Mr. Kraft, can I get an ownership? I own the team. I pay all y'all fools money. Can I get a little dance?" How many of you would keep your jobs if you try to embarrass your... embarrass in front of more than 1 million people. Ty was the only one brazen enough to try. But a couple of days later, he dropped off a photo at my office, and the caption said, "Who said white man can't dance?" Yeah. I've had that photo displayed in my office since he gave it to me, and when I come in every morning, it gives me a good laugh. How good was Ty Law? Good enough to get Loya Malloy to jump on a red eye from Seattle to be here for the occasion. Along with many other teammates like Rodney Harrison, Kevin Fogg, Otis my man Smith, all of whom, along with a lot of others, have traveled a great deal to get here today. And I know it means a lot to Ty that you all feel that camaraderie and have done this. I also want to recognize and thank Diane's mom, Diane, and his father, Raymond. And I guess without them, he wouldn't be here today. So thank you very much. They're joined by a couple dozen friends who traveled from Ty's hometown just outside of Pittsburgh. And what I'd like to do is have everyone from Aliquippa, including Darrell Rivas' mom, stand and recognize and make some noise. Everyone from Aliquippa who came. I know Aliquippa is a football factory and home to many great NFL legends like Mike Ditka, Tony Dorsett, Sean Gilbert. But as far as I'm concerned, Aliquippa has cornered the market on cornerbacks, and we are eternally grateful. Just keep making them and sending them our way, and I'll be happy to give them number 24 and let them do their thing. Before I introduce Ty, I just want to say that I've had a lot of fun catching up with him this week and remembering that great era in our history. And, you know, many of us talk about what happens to players after they leave the NFL. And I think Ty is a great example of what can happen if they pay attention to how they've grown up and what they can do. And I'm proud to see the success he's having now. Now that he's decided to launch a new career. In case you don't know, he spends most of his time bouncing between his four trampoline parks and has a plan to launch many more soon. It's fun to talk now to Ty Iannone, knowing that he is the one managing a staff and paying you all fool's money. And finally, how good was Ty Law? Before Aliquippa's own Rivas Island came to Foxborough, Ty was responsible for bringing law and order to the Patriots secondary. And for a decade, he brought confidence. He brought bravado. He brought swagger. But most of all, he helped bring the New England Patriots three Super Bowl championships. And now it's my great honor to give our Hall of Fame jacket to one of my favorite guys ever to come through here, one of the greatest Patriots ever, Ty Law.
I got an excuse to keep my sunglasses on right now because my owner, Mr. Kraft, said we're going to keep the shades on because it's your day. So, you know, no disrespect to you guys. But before I get started, y'all got to bear with me a little bit. The shade came on, so y'all, it's not as hot as it was earlier. I'm not good at writing speeches. I like to speak from the heart. So if I bounce all over the place a little bit, just understand that, you know, I'm speaking from where it really counts. You know, it's not rehearsed. You know, got a couple notes, but it's no speech. But first of all, I would like to thank the committee and the panel that thought I was worthy of being in the discussion to be standing here in front of you today. You know, the writers, the personalities, Tom, you know, Curran, you know, Brian Morey, Mike Reese, Karen, you guys have been awesome throughout my career. Even though we didn't always get along, I appreciate you doing your job and holding me to a higher standard to make me go out there and perform to the best of my ability. But the only reason that I'm standing here right now today is because of the Patriot Nation, you the fans. You went outside and you voted for me. That is the only reason. There's no teammates, there's no coaches. The fans is what got me up here so I can put on this red jacket. And with that being said, I guess there ain't no coming back now, Mr. Kraft. I was waiting for that call. I got this jacket on, so I guess it's over. I was still holding out a little bit of hope every now and again, you know. Wake up, think I get that call, you know, come on back, play 5-6 plays. But it's a wrap. but I'm very humbled, you know, by you guys, the fans, because it was one of the best feelings in the world to come back and see those 24 jerseys still out there, still cheering. When I was sleeping with the enemy, you guys still had that jersey on, still cheering for me. And that was one of the greatest moments that I ever had because I did not know, you know, how I was going to be received. So I love you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But don't clap too hard. There was a couple boos in there, too, now. It was a couple boos. But you know what? I might have booed me, too, if I was on the other side. So you guys, I'm indebted to you because you continue to support me both on and off the field. Launch would not be what it is today without you guys coming to support it. So I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart, my launch staff, my team. They want to thank you as well. And as the new businessman that I am, I must say this before I go on. Everybody, because you treated me so well, this one is on me. After the ceremony, go on the launch, and all you got to do is say 24. You jump for free. Everybody, it's on me. That's my gift back to you. Thank you very much. So you go there and say 24. I got a staff waiting for you. Have a good time. I learned that from Mr. Kraft right there. You like that? There we go. Yeah. But that's real talk. But a part of this, the success, and this is a little bit overwhelming because we're up here to celebrate me. But I couldn't have got here by myself. I had so many, you know, people. So many teams, organizations that helped me stand here in front of you today. And when it comes to football and New England Patriots, it all started from this man sitting right here to my left, Mr. Robert Kraft. You know, he went above and beyond the call of duty when it came to this organization. And what you guys see is the product that it puts on the field, but it's a lot more that goes into that. And, you know, you're talking about an owner that is passionate and not only cares about winning and what he brings to the community, he cares about each one of these players that ever put on that uniform. And there's not a lot of owners out there like him. I don't think there's any owners like him, because I hear time and time again that you play for the best owner in the NFL. I just had a conversation with Solomon Wilcox for the NFL Network. He called me personally to let me know, to congratulate me, first of all, but to let me know how much of a blessing that it was for me to be able to play under Robert Kraft and the type of owner that he is. I mean, he gets the job done no matter what the situation. And, you know, he took a chance on me, a small-town guy, you know, from Aliquippa. You know, they're going to do their background checks. They're going to do everything. But he gave me an opportunity to live my dream. He let somebody pick the groceries to bring me here. And I am so thankful, you know, for that. And he always called me his second son. And I really never understood what that meant. He'll take the time to sit and talk to me. And I didn't know if it was one of those situations where, hey, he's trying to make me more comfortable to where I can go out there and play and let me know, hey, I wasted a first round pick on you, man. Made me look good. Or it was a situation where he really cared for me as an individual and as a person. And fortunately for me, it was the latter. He cared about me as a person. And I think what epitomized, you know, the relationship for me, and I want to thank you personally right now, is the fact that he was going through one of the toughest times of his life with the passing of his beautiful wife, Mara. And she was very ill at the time. And I was being honored at the 10th anniversary for the tradition in Boston. I was a recipient of the award, and Mr. Kraft was supposed to present that to me, so I understood if he couldn't make it. And they came and told me that Mr. Kraft would not be able to make it today. Andre Tippett will be presenting the award for you because of the situation and Mr. Kraft being by his wife's side. And, you know, lo and behold, by the time we got to the part where I was supposed to go and get presented, here comes Mr. Kraft walking in. I understood he didn't have to be there. And when you showed up on that moment, regardless of anything that ever has transpired, you drafted me, you panned me. That was the moment that did everything for me in our relationship, because I don't know if I could have did it. You know, you left your wife's side, you know, for that short amount of time because you were committed to me, and that's how you felt about me, and I feel the same way. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I will never forget that, Mr. Kraft. Anytime you call me, I'll be there. And with that being said, guys, look at this place. He spared no expense whatsoever in building Patriot Place, something that we can all enjoy. Look at that stadium. Yeah. But I got to say, because we said we're going to let it all out, Mr. Kraft. We got to let it. There was a couple of expenses being spared back in 1995 when I got here. Man, Foxborough Stadium. I came here for a visit. You know, when I was coming out of college, I decided to leave school early, and I came up, and the Patriots wanted to bring me up for a visit. And I'm like, you know, okay, I wasn't a well-traveled guy at the time. And, you know, coming to a big city in Boston, you know, New England. Now, first of all, where is New England? But, you know, I came up. You know, big city. Then I landed, and I'm sort of thinking, you know, Westin, Marriott, Ritz-Carlton, something. You know, they bring you up to, you know, show out a little bit. You know what I mean? But as we get to driving from the airport, you know, I thought I was going to get picked up, you know, in a limo or something like that. They brought some big blue vans with, you know, Patriots stuck on the sign with scotch tape. But I said, okay. I'm going to get in. But as we drove further and further from civilization in Boston, we landed here, you know, on Route 1. And they put me up at the end zone. I was like, oh my God, please do not draft me here. I'm gonna get drafted right back to Aliquippa. But, you know, lo and behold, you know, you set me up for what was to come. I actually lived in the end zone for 2 months, thanks to Scott Zolak. At the end of training camp, I bought the house from Scott Zolak. He told me I was gonna move in, you know, right at the end of training camp. 1 week turned into two weeks turned into four. Next thing you know, I'm 2 months in, and that's what you call getting rookie. I got played, but thank you, Scott Zolak, because I never missed practice. Hell, I was only 300 yards up the street, so I never was late. You know, I appreciate that, but you know what I was thinking at the time, and to where I am sitting here in front of you guys today, that you never know where life is going to take you. I really, because of that experience, not knowing any better, being young, being foolish, because of what I seen, I couldn't see this vision. I couldn't see that this was going to be like this. I couldn't see that I was going to be a part of something bigger. All I know is that I was at this hotel thinking that the owner, you know, if you own the football team, you got to be balling. I didn't know that Mr. Kraft was just balling on the budget at the time. And, you know, he was a new owner. I didn't know. That's why I was his second son. I was his second draft pick. I understand as a business owner now that, you know, you got to crawl before you walk. But I wouldn't change it for the world. So I thank you. And I thank, you know, God for not granting my wish of not drafting me here, because this has been the best 10 years of my playing career in my life. And I just want to thank you again, and I love you, man. Thank you. So, I told you guys got to bear with me. I get a little long-winded. I'm trying to beat Brewski's record from last year. I got you, Brew. I'm gonna beat you. But you know, outside of everything, I had a lot of, like I said, teams, people that cared about me, and I would not be here without these guys that came to support me. It's not boxing. It's not track. This is football. I just happen to be the one standing here, and a lot of times being the recipient of some of the hard play that these guys did. They helped me be in the position that I were in to pick off some of those balls, to make those tackles, to make those plays. It all stems from you guys. And I want my teammates, please stand up, man. Please. Everybody that I played with. Oh, go on ahead, sit down. Some of us have not aged well. Damn. But I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, man. I mean, just you coming out here, showing the support, and being here for me. I mean, it made it all worthwhile. I want to point out some guys individually. You know, the stories that you guys don't know, the Otis Smiths. He was such a competitor. He was my coach out there on the field. He was my biggest critic out there. He always expected more out of me than I expected out of myself. You know, being a veteran cornerback, I was always comparing myself to him with his work ethic, because if he can still run like that, if he can still play, why am I to sit here and complain? You know, he set the bar for me. So I got to give you a lot of credit, Otis, for being who you were, not only my teammate, but as my friend. My man, Lawyer Malloy. The Firm. We made us a nickname, The Firm. Lawyer was that guy. First, I'm going to complain before I compliment him, because I've always said that, you know, I would one day get, I said my goal was to get 60 interceptions in my NFL career. I fell short by a couple, because Lawyer, he was one of the type of guys, if I said I'm going to see some, hey, Lawyer, hey, I'm going to jump this route, check this out, you know, work with me right here. He like, man, you get paid all that money, cover him. I'm like, man, I see something. He's like, man, get it. He just waved me off and told me to cover him. And I was like, you know what? I had to be held accountable because of that. And that's how Lawyer was. He was focused on what he had to do. You know, he was trying to knock somebody out. But that was my man. And, like, every time it came down to it, he's like, look, I'm counting on you. I need you right now. And I ain't giving you no help. He'll let me know right away. I said, you know what? For you, anything. I mean, you're talking about a guy that goes out there, blood, sweat, and tears, to do anything it takes to win. That is Lawyer Malloy, my friend, my boy, my brother, from another mother. Thank you, brother. Now, on the flip side of that, Rodney Harrison. Now, I know I can count on him not to throw up how much money I made, and he gonna take my back. That man, Rodney Harrison, you know, if I said I see something, regardless of what the defense might be, he was like, I got you covered, I got your back. He gave me the confidence to go out there and jump any route that I wanted to. I would go out there in the game and say, let me get one of them plays of safety, bro. Guess what? Rodney's going to come play corner for me just so I can say I played safety, because I was always curious about it. But you're talking about a man that brought passion, brought energy, emotion, and if I had a problem with anybody on the field talking, because I was not a talker. You guys might think I was a big trash talker. I wasn't like that. I'm going to get my big brother Rodney, because he going to fight. Hey, Rodney going to take the fine for all of us. So, he's like, hey, you guys are some of the best I'd ever played with, man. You know, I wish we could have had the chance to play together, because I can only imagine the sounds that I would have heard with those two guys back there in the same secondary. I could only imagine what could have been. But it was a blessing to play with both you guys, and you were my favorite safeties I ever played with in my life. Truly the best, man. I love y'all, man, for sure. I got to give one more shout out to my man Teddy Bruschi, because I didn't like to come back to the huddle. And Teddy Bruschi would always do more than what he had to do to make sure I knew what was going on the field. Teddy Bruschi called the defense. I'm over there tired. I'm trying to save every step that I can, because I'm chasing around whoever that number one receiver was. Teddy Bruschi was always the one to say, Ty, you all right? This is the defense. What do you want? I'm like, I love playing man-to-man, but hell, call a cover too. Hey, I'm going to play zone right now. Guess what? No matter what the defense was called, Teddy Bruschi will take it upon himself just to give me a break and call a cover two for that play. We might catch hell when we get back to the sideline. Who called that? And you say Bruschi. Oh, okay, Bill, okay. Everything's all right. So, you know, anytime something went down, you just blame it on Teddy Bruschi. Ain't nobody getting in trouble. But thanks, Bruce, for being who you are, man. Thank you. You know, I look back on my career, and we talk about, you know, the teammates that I played with. But I was thinking last night of the great coaches that I played for. I mean, I played for three Super Bowl winning head coaches. Three of them. Bill Parcells, who drafted me. Coach Bill Parcells. I mean, this guy, he used to get up in my head. He would always call me chubby, call me fat. I could be in the best shape of my life. He'll find something that had more body fat than it should be in his eyes. Pete Carroll. I mean, he was amazing. I know he won his Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks, but it was Pete Carroll who actually gave me the ball and let me run with it and say, you know what, you're that guy. I want you on him. I'm going to play you man to man. It's you versus that guy. And he gave me the confidence to go out there and want to be in that position, want to hold that standard. And then it was the great Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, he's a different breed. You're talking about someone who has an air mattress in his office, because that's where he's at. He's studying. He's preparing us to be the best that we can be. He puts more time in than any of us players combined. That's how we were able to go out there and be successful. You're talking about somebody's house, how much square footage you get. I bet you none of us got a house this big, because that's where Bill Belichick live at. And he was also a master manipulator of the mind. Not only was he great at the X's and O's as far as coaching and putting us in the best position, he also played with your mind. We had a situation where we had a game, and I would always cover the best wide receiver. Out of nowhere, I don't know where it came from. I don't know what I did to deserve this. And Coach Belichick came and told me, he said, we're going to put you on the other guy. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, we're going to put you on the other guy. We're going to double up on their number one. And, of course, you know, feeling slighted, betrayed, I'm like, no, the hell we're not. Hey, I'm covering him. This is that. What do you pay me for? I'm starting to get real irritated and fighting him. He said, look, this is what's best for the team. I said, okay. So when we went out to practice, I went to who I figure I'm supposed to be playing. I'm going to the number one receiver. So he came to me and said, you know what? He said, I'm going to let you take him. But as soon as you get beat, we're going to back and do it my way. You know, never want to underestimate Bill. And I didn't figure this out till later on. Three interceptions later in the AFC Championship game, we're on our way to the Super Bowl. Coach Bill Belichick, not only was I playing for my teammates, I was still pissed off at Bill trying to prove something to him. Because it was like he didn't think I can play. But it was all a setup because he couldn't do nothing but laugh at it. But that's the type of guy that Coach Belichick is. And, you know, when you're talking about Vince Lombardi and the trophy is named after him, I think we're going to have to reevaluate that at some point. As much as I love, you know, holding up that Lombardi trophy, we got to have something in the NFL named after Bill Belichick because the success that he has had, you know, throughout his tenure here in New England, his records are going to stand for a long time to come. And I can't see it being anyone that's going to be able to duplicate what he has done here in New England. So I want to thank Bill Belichick personally for doing all that he has for me, for giving me the confidence to do what I do best. From a personal standpoint, one of my other teams is my agents, Carl and Kevin Poston, PSP. They helped guide me through my career, navigate some of those murky waters at times when it came to the business aspect of playing in the NFL. You guys, it stuck with me from the time I left out of college. You helped me a lot, and I think you know, without you guys being there by my side, I would not be in the position that I am today. And I know we have hard times with a lot of things personally, but like I've always told you guys, it's PSP for life. That's never going to change. I don't care what company it's called, where it goes, it's PSP for life as far as I'm concerned. So I thank you for everything that you guys done for me. And you know, if you can call me at any time, man, so thank you very much. And through that relationship, through Kevin, I met my financial advisor, you know, Craig Jones from Jones Barkley Boston. And, you know, I was young, uneducated, didn't know how to handle success, handle financially what I was being paid. And he helped educate me. He helped me save my money to where I didn't have to depend on anything. He helped me not fall victim to a lot of the things that us athletes go through. And, you know, not only has he been a mentor, he is now my friend. It's no business relationship. It's not, you know, client-advisor relationship. He is my friend. He is my brother. And I want to thank you for all that you have done, Craig, because I know it gets hard at times. Man, hell, I still got to sneak to spend my own money. But, you know, that's what you done for me, man. And I was like, hey, you know, thank you. And I love you, man. And because of you, I'm able to have lunch, my other team. I would like you guys to stand up. My launch team, stand up, please. Hey, you guys are awesome. My business partner, Rob Arner, I mean, holding it down every day. You know, I learned so much by watching, Mr. Kraft, how you ran this organization. You know, it's hard. It's tough. You know, being the man that everyone looks at for answers, being the man in charge. And I try to take some of those same type of things that I watch from you and take it into my own business. And it is absolutely, you know, a blessing to be able to do so, but I would not be able to handle what you guys handle on a day-to-day basis. That's what I mean about team. And you are a great team. I thank you. I know if it was me by myself, we would not be on our fourth store next week. We would not, you know, be knocking down the doors, and we'll have 8 stores by the end of the year. That is all you guys. So I thank you, and I'm indebted to you. And now I want to talk about the core of me and who I am. It starts from, you know, my family. And I want to say something personally to my children, is that you guys mean everything to me. Taya, Ty Ty, Phoenix, Sydney, and I got a little bun in the oven right now. It's coming in December. Another little boy, just found out, got another little soldier. You guys are my world. And especially my two oldest, you sacrificed so much by letting me play the game that I love. I wasn't always there. I wasn't always there every day and focused on what really mattered. But believe me, you guys are the absolute most important thing in my life. And as much as I'm talking about team, that's all I want you guys to be, is a team. You know, love each other, respect each other, be there for one another, because life is easier when you have a team around you and a support system. And thank you for all the support that my family, you know, has given me. You know, thank you for blessing me, you know, with my children. And excuse me. You guys are looking at an imperfect man right now. But I did something that was absolutely perfect. I got 5 perfect children in my life. I mean, I love them so much. And I will rest in peace knowing that they love each other. And you know that daddy loves you through thick and thin. So I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're becoming and what you guys are growing up to be. I can't say enough about you or how I feel. So you just know, no matter what, that daddy loves you. And when I'm dead and gone, just come home back here and you'll see daddy sitting right there in the Hall of Fame. Say a special thank you to my mother. You know, she's been my biggest, you know, fan, my biggest support system from day one. We had some issues growing up, but you were always there. I have not always been the best son, but your love never wavered, not one time. And I'll say something now that I would never say when I was playing, is that every single game that I ever played, my mom was the first person I called. And it was just not, it wasn't just to, you know, hear her voice. It was the words that she said. And I was always her little boy. So for 59 times that I picked off the ball, my mom gave me those same words, get an interception for mommy. every time we hung up the phone, that's what she said to me. That was our I love you on game day. Well, I'm telling you, Ma, you enjoy this just as much as I am, because I would not be here without you. I would not be wearing this coat. I would not have picked off that many balls because I was trying to bring you home a gift. Not only was I trying to do what I could to win, I was bringing my mother a gift, which was that ball. So I thank you so much, and I love you. With that being said, Aliquippa, thank you for coming up. You guys been supporting me for a long time. And this is the other team that I'm talking about, a team of community. These guys have been supporting me from high school, college, to pros, life after the pros. And as you can see, they're all here today. So the core of who I am outside of my family is where I was raised, in a small town called Aliquippa. Remember that, because now we have a young man by the name of Darrell Revis from that same hometown, wearing that same number. Watch the good things that are going to happen. Thank you very much. I love you guys.
At this time, I'd like to invite Scott Zolak to return to the stage to moderate another little panel discussion with Ty and an all-star cast of defensive backs. Let's give a round of applause as we invite fellow cornerback Otis Smith, safeties Lawyer Malloy and Rodney Harrison to the stage.
Three times the amount of Brewski speech last year. I had 20 questions. We got to cut it down to one apiece. And there aren't many that can pull off. I'm talking about men that can pull off white jeans. Lawyer's about the only one in the whole building here. So let's give it up for the white jeans, especially from the ladies. All right, let's start with tonight's honoree first. Now, he told you the story that, you know, I was pulling a joke on a rookie. Here's the true story. Camp was over. He liked the house. I said, you know what? I'm going to hook him up. So we settled on a price. He said, he gets out his checkbook. He goes, all right, I'm going to cut you the check. You're just going to give me the key, right? I said, no, we got to purchase and sell. We got to go to the bank. You want to get a mortgage. So that was the delay. I wasn't trying to pull one over on the rookie. Ty, you played in the big house. You already talked about this place. First thought when you pulled up and you walked in that locker room where they kind of put the card table over the pool table in the visiting locker room, and that was our lounge, so to speak, for the players' lounge. Talk about the locker room aspect when you first walked in.
It had to be the worst locker rooms I've ever seen in my life. You know, I mean, you would think a professional football team, you're going to, you know, have it laid out a little bit. But, you know, I understand that, you know, Mr. Kraft, he just bought the team. I didn't know that then. I was talking about Mr. Kraft a little bit. I was talking about him. I'm like, man, kind of owner is this, man? What's going on? But he just purchased the team, so it took a little bit of time. So I was a little bit in awe about how bad it was. But the guys that I played with and the guys that we bonded over that facility, we made it work, and we did, you know, the best that we could, you know, within. And we end up before we christened it right, leaving it by going out to winning a Super Bowl.
All right. Lawyer Malloy, who flew all the way in for Seattle on a red eye last night, was lucky enough to join me on a radio show today. And he talked about swagger, and the word's been thrown around. Mr. Kraft used it in your speech. Ty's talked about it. Rodney's talked about it. Teddy Bruschi's talked about it. How ticked off are you nowadays that you can't play defense the way you four guys set the tone, the way you play defense and the style and how you won Super Bowls?
Well, before I answer that, let's talk about swagger a little bit. See,
I'm up here with
John Varvatos jeans or slacks, and I got the Air Force Ones on. I'm kind of feeling out of place.
Look like spandex.
I'm kind of... it's the Euro cut, bro. But I'm kind of feeling, you know, out of place a little bit, and Mr. Kraft comes up here, and I don't know if anybody saw his swag socks, and he has Air Force Ones on, so I'm good. Right? I'm good.
All right. Go ahead. Keep going.
What was the question again?
What was the swagger? And in the style of defense, these new crazy rules that benefit the offense nowadays.
You can't me and Rodney would be playing for free.
I paid for free. Rodney played for free anyway.
Find a lot more than me.
Did you see my contract? What he paid me? That money went to Ty.
No, I really think that the rules are there for a reason. I think it's good intention, but I do think that it's really hard on defenders to do their job. But I really think that the Seahawks, they showed everybody that you can do it within the rules. And I really think that everybody's going to, take a tape from what they're doing and go out there and hit people. And you gotta set the tone.
Bring swagger back. Like it. All right, let's go to Rodney Harrison. And Rodney told me something today. Rodney said it came down to two teams when you were leaving San Diego as to two places you were going to sign. There's a reason you signed here. And what was that?
Well, it was a situation where I got released by the San Diego Chargers. I had Denver Broncos, I had the Oakland Raiders, and I had the New England Patriots. So I was in Al Davis's office, and I made an excuse because I had Mike Shanahan on the other line saying, "Hey, Rodney, we want to pay you a lot of money. We want to pay you. Come now." Then Bill Belichick called, and he said, "Look, I want you out here." And so just something in my spirit, I talked to Ty about this earlier, that made me want to get on that flight. So I got on the flight. I arrived early morning, and it was the middle of winter, and it was snow, it was freezing, I had on gym shoes, shorts, and then it was time for me to go to lunch. They took me to the ground round. And I'm like, hold on. This is my first time being a free agent. I'm thinking Ruth Chris, maybe an afternoon, maybe some shrimp scampi. And I go to the ground round. Nothing personal against it, but it's not a five-star restaurant that
the
I was used to
doing. Popcorn is good
right?
there, yeah.
But anyway, I came into the office, got a chance to meet with Bill Belichick, Scott Pioli, and they just kept it so real with me and just laid it out on the line. And they just said, "Look, we just want you to play. Regardless of your injury, you don't have to take a physical. I know what you can do." And I had an opportunity because I knew these two guys were here. And I'm like, bet. I'm about to go to the best secondary in the National Football League. But I have to say this. When you think about Patriot Nation, just look around. This is so special. I mean, look at the support from the fans. And I played with the San Diego Chargers for 9 years. And Dean Spanos, the owner, I've never once had him come down in the locker room and shake our hands. This man... It's 30 below zero. He's out there while we're practicing, shaking our hands, giving us hugs, his wife, knowing my kids' names. And I'm like, this is absolutely amazing. An actual owner, a billionaire owner, cares that much about me and my family. It's not just about the product that I put on the field, that we put on the field. It's something special, Mr. Kraft. And I just wanted to really take this moment to congratulate you. And the last thing, and I'll shut up, this guy right here, I wanted to crack some jokes and tell some stories, but just the job that he did up here. You guys, if you never spoke in front of people, you don't realize how difficult it is. He did a wonderful, fantastic, because he was transparent. The one thing that you know about Ty Law will always tell you what's on his mind. And the second thing, if you spend time with him, you would know that his favorite word is F.
I didn't say it.
It was always F. Belichick, F. Belichick, F. Belichick. And it was always, forget Mr. Kraft, forget Mr. Kraft, forget Mr. Kraft.
Great stuff, as this is on the video board, I'm sure, inside while the team's warming up for the season ticket holders practice. All right, this is what we're going to do to wrap it up. And Ronnie mentioned 30 below. I will never forget how cold that stadium was against Jacksonville when Otis had the scoop and score for the touchdown, which sent us to that first Super Bowl. Otis. We're going to start with Otis, and we're going to bring it back down this way. Your favorite Ty Law story. Give me a funny one. Give me a good one. Maybe it's Bus 3 when Mike Jones was on there cracking on everybody's mama. Something about that. Give me one good Ty Law story and your favorite Ty Law moment.
I'm going to keep that between Ty and myself. Ty Law is the youngest brother that I never had. He's when I first met Ty and Lawyer, the first time I walked into a meeting room, they greeted me with open arms, the two of them, the law firm. And, you know, and I appreciated that, you know, and they accepted me as one of their senior brothers. And, you know, I always put those two guys together coming in. And when you would see Ty running down Route 1, I was with him. Sometimes I would be ahead of him. Sometimes I would let him be ahead of me. But he was there. You know, not only the mornings on running up and down Route 1, but the lunch meetings Ty and I would have and talking about football, talking about life after football. But it would always be on a treadmill before practice. Then we would go to practice. We would run after practice. Now, Lawyer, on the other hand, I've never met any guy with a better practice habit than Lawyer until I met Rodney. It was equal between the two of those guys, and they put it all out there in practice. Well, whereas me and Ty would kind of go throughout the day. And those guys were, you know, I never played with Rodney. I wish I had. But these two guys with Scott, Troy, Teddy, and all the guys that I play with, Kevin, and all the guys that are out there in the seats right now, it was phenomenal. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. Rodney, one last thing you want to share about Ty, since you were part of the running crew too?
So in training camp, I get cut. I'm over here, ground round, all that stuff. So I'm in training camp. And I'm like, wow, look at this secondary. I got Lawyer Malloy. We're trying to argue back and forth. Are you playing strong safety? Are you going to play free safety? Well, Lawyer, I'm playing strong safety because I can cover. You can't cover. All you can do is hit. I got more range. I can cover two. And Ty was like, that Lawyer, I love him, but he can't cover. You should be covering tight end. So we're practicing, and Lawyer's making a lot of money at that time, numbers I've never seen. And I'm like, wow. So the Kraft family and Lawyer, they're going back and forth. Belichick, the whispers around, you know, possibly releasing Lawyer. At this time, I know he's in an uncomfortable position because he wants his boy, obviously, to play. And I'm like, I'm just a new guy here. I'm just trying to, you know, make my name. So they end up releasing Lawyer. He ends up going to Buffalo, signing a nice contract, which was well-deserved. So the very first game of the season, they blow us out. I think it was 31-0. So all you see is, you know, Lawyer played a heck of a game. Great safety, future Hall of Famer, all that good stuff. He's dancing around, and he's partying with his guys. And Ty's like, look at them MFs. Look at them. He said, look at them. He said, look at Lawyer. He said, Rodney, you better get your ass right. Because if not, if you don't play after he cut Lawyer, you're going to get Bill ass fired. And that's, you know, and that's the special thing about Ty. And we have such a great relationship because, I mean, he's like an open book. I mean, he's here, the great, mighty Ty Law. He's crying. He's talking about how much he loves his kids, his family, all his support system. And that's, Ty had a swagger. Ty was very cocky. But he's the cockiest, humble guy that I've ever met because he has a genuine heart and he does so much for everyone. Thank you, guys. I'm done.
Thank you, Rodney. All right, Mr. Swagger, you got the jeans on. We'll leave it up to you, whether it's a Bus 3 story, maybe it's something inside, maybe it's something personal.
Maybe it's something about all these guys that showed up to support this guy at war number 24.
Well, first of all, this is your day. I'm proud of you. It's well-deserved. I blame a lot of my expensive bad choices because of you.
Talking about cars.
Ferraris. I went over to your house. You had a fish tank. I got a fish tank. You know, the watches. I got watches. Yeah, obviously, all those things. But there's a lot of good things that that you don't know that I was looking up to you for. The postings, we talk about PSP. When I was going through the situation with the Patriots, I kind of saw the situation happening. And because I watched you and your relationship with your agents and how genuine it was, I went with PSP, and they helped me through that time. So I want to say thank you to you guys again. And then the biggest thing that happened to me in my career that was positive was getting with the right financial advisor. Again, Craig Jones sitting down here, you know, like you said, you know, I'm afraid to spend my own money. You know, he talked to me about budgeting and stuff like that, and I think all that to you. The only one expensive thing that I can't blame you for is my wife. So, you know, I love you, brother. You know, Diane and your father, man, I really appreciate you guys. My funny story about Ty Law is that, you know, we prided ourselves, especially in the defensive backfield, from my rookie year all the way until I left, with being very, very ready. You know, Bill was a perfectionist about, you know, being on time, you know, knowing what you're doing. We were basically an extension of him. And part of that process was us having a test at the end of the week, right, on Fridays, right, where we will all have to, you know, not only do a test on the plays and, you know, he would go through the corrections and stuff like that, but we would have to do a little essay because all of us had one individual that we were assigned to. So just to let you know, my test went something like, you know, Tony Gonzalez. So I would get up in front of the room and I would say, you know, Tony Gonzalez, you know, went to Cal, he played, you know, basketball, right-handed. He's really good in the end zone. We might double team him, but I got him. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I would go on for like 10, 15 minutes. So everybody would go on, rookies included. And here goes Ty at the end. Okay, Ty played with Swagger. He had the toughest job on the field, taking out the best receiver. And no matter what the receiver was, I remember my rookie year, he goes up there, he says, okay, Ty Law, I got Eric Moles, F him, and sat down. And it was like that. I'm talking about it was like that every single week. Jerry Rice, it didn't matter who we were playing, that was his attitude, man. And that was his attitude. And at the end of my career with him, you know, it was, we would just wait for it. You know, he would say, Jerry Rice, and we all go, F him. So that was my thing. So I'm proud of you, brother.
Thank you,
man. That's a great one to end on. And off of Mr. Kraft's speech, take a picture, because I don't know if you'll ever see this again. Two great corners, two of the greatest safeties to ever play here for this organization. Otis Smith, Rodney Harrison, the newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame, Ty Law, and one of your favorites of all time, the law firm, Laura Malloy. Just call John Rook back up.
Big round of applause again. Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy, Otis Smith. And as they get ready to return to their seats here, I'd like to invite our honoree tonight, Ty Law, Mr. Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, and all the Patriots Hall of Famers up here for a group photo. So we'll get some photo opportunities. If you got your cameras, feel free to fire away. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for attending our 7th annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The Hall of Patriot Plays presented by Raytheon. The hall will be open until 11 o'clock tonight. We hope that you'll take some time to visit. Encourage the others to do the same. Come by and have a look. Make sure, if you get the opportunity to as well, to come on into the stadium. We've got the practice getting ready to get underway here very, very shortly.
Hold on. Don't y'all leave yet. I got one more thing that I got to say. It just wouldn't be right if we left this. We got to do this Ty Law style. Mr. Kraft, you better get your butt, get back over here. Come on over here. See? I want to see if y'all remember this. Cue it up.
Hey, Mr. Kraft, can I get an ownership? I own the team. I pay all y'all fools money. Can I get a little dance? Yeah!
Now, we started off like that. A little bit of time went past, and it was a difficult time for this next go-around. Now, I got to say, his moves got a little bit better. Roll it one more time. We got a little bit better with that one. So, we can only end this thing the right way. So I was thinking of something that I can do, because me and Mr. Kraft, that's our thing. We get our dance on. And I was like, now, I was going to get him a card. And I said, you know, if I put a couple dollars in it, that won't make no damn sense. You know, that won't make sense whatsoever. The man got his own plane, his own stadium, his own team. So I said, you know, I put a little bit more thought into it. And I said, if we're going to do one last dance, I got to give him something that he's always going to remember. So, come on over here. Woo! Yeah! Sit Mr. Kraft down right here. Because we don't need it. You can take them off right there. We don't need them. We don't need them. Ty Law style, hey. Limited edition. I'm going to get mine too. Hold on. Let me get mine too. Yeah, man, you put them on. These are some classics right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Turn up the music. Put it on. Oh, yeah. Custom made. He been hooking us up with all this bling bling for a long time. I gotta return the favor. That's how we get. Come on, yeah. Yeah! What's that move, Mr. Kraft? Yeah! Yeah! What does it take to be? Hold on! Hey, give me something with a little bit more rhythm. A little bit more rhythm. I want everybody to get in on this one. Cut that song right there. We heard that one. Yeah!
Alright.
Just go off the bus. You gotta turn around like this. Appreciate it. Yeah. Hey, one time. Let's go.
When we get the notion.
Thanks for coming, y'all.